Hello, Badger fans, and welcome to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. As always, Tyler Hunt and Matt Bells here covering everything Wisconsin athletics. On today's show, we've got a lot of recruiting to talk about with both football and basketball. Of course, football had a huge weekend this past weekend with 10 players on campus taking official visits. From at least the initial reports, from what we've seen, it sounds like it went pretty well, but we'll kind of get into that. Talk about some of the guys that sounded like they had a strong weekend and some other recruiting stuff on the football side. And then we'll get into some basketball recruiting. I know football right now is certainly the talking point with the big weekend that they had and another one upcoming, but basketball is a big weekend upcoming as well in the next couple weeks. A few players scheduled to visit. We'll talk about where they stand with a few of those as they've got some players ready to come on campus that hopefully the Badgers can make a run at. I know Wisconsin football, they had a strong weekend and put themselves, I think, in a good position, and basketball could certainly benefit from that as well. So another full show of recruiting here to get you guys started into this week. Matt, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Yeah, no, it was definitely an eventful weekend, a lot of twists and turns along some different storylines, but I really think overall you've got to tip your cap to everything that the shorthanded staff did in that recruiting department to kind of pull off a really cool weekend for a lot of the players. And, I mean, from all accounts, it sounds like they knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, that was from every report, it sounds like everything went well. So kudos to those guys, especially short staff, to you really have a big weekend and roll out everything to make sure that those guys seemed like they had a really strong and fun weekend, and hopefully that put the Badgers in a good spot in a lot of different positions. So we'll get into that here in just a little bit. Before that, though, we've got a little bit of news to touch on. The big one, of course, Wisconsin has rescheduled to play Notre Dame at Lambeau Field, now rescheduled for 2026. Of course, they've got the upcoming matchup this year at Soldier Field. We knew that Lambeau Field game would be rescheduled at some point. Unfortunately, not really in the near future, but it's good that Wisconsin and Notre Dame were able to get that together, because two schools like that, whenever they play, is going to be big time. I know Badger fans are looking forward to one this year, but it'll be good to have that at Lambeau. I'm usually not a huge proponent of the neutral field in NFL stadiums. I think it'd be cool to have these games on campus, but Lambeau Field's maybe a special exception, at least in my eyes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, being able to go to Lambeau and play, that's a unique opportunity for both teams, and kind of a historic venue that some of these guys, if they go on and play in the pros, will have the opportunity to play there. But many of them, it's the only opportunity they're going to have to play in an NFL stadium, and it's an exciting proposition for them. So it generates a lot of interest into our later conversations. But overall, I'm just glad that they were able to figure out a way to get it back in the schedule. If it's in nicely that year, they play Western Illinois at home, and then they also have Pitt scheduled that year at Camp Randall. So overall, I think it slides in nicely, and hopefully you'll see the Badgers go ahead and secure another win in Lambeau. That would be awfully exciting.
Yeah, I was going to say, the last one at Lambeau was certainly a fun event. One of the Badger games to look back on, if you were there in person, that was quite exciting and a fun experience. So hopefully that one with Notre Dame upcoming will also be that same way. Like you said, I'm glad that you mentioned that some of these guys, that's their chance to play in an NFL stadium with that type of history is certainly a cool experience. And 2026 is certainly further away, but it should be a fun one whenever they get there. And take on Notre Dame, and it should be a fun one at Soldier Field. I'm glad that they worked it out. I'm glad it's not a Virginia Tech rescheduling, which is now, 30 years down the road, and it keeps kicking the can down the road. I'm glad that these two were able to come to the table and come to an agreement to get this one back on the schedule for sure. But in terms of news, we'll keep on rolling here. Matthew Moores, named the Gatorade Player of the Year for South Dakota. And I did not realize this is his third time winning that award, which is incredibly impressive. for the Mount Rushmore State. Really a kid that has been dominating, since middle school. Of course, playing for his high school team. Pretty impressive when you look at the resume that he's put together at his high school career. I think Badger fans, I know right now you're looking at, I know everyone looks forward to these football recruits that could pan out, but I think Matthew Moores, in terms of a guy to be excited about, is right up there. I can't wait to see what he can do with Wisconsin, but what do you make of him being named the Gatorade Player of the Year for South Dakota, not once, but twice, but for the third time?
I mean, it's a pretty cool honor for him. He's a really talented player that I think should have the opportunity to help out the Badgers, almost immediately on campus, just based off of what he brings to the table. Pretty good shooter, can help in a lot of different facets, kind of molds his game a lot after the guy who recruited him in Joe Krabbenhoff, and has a similar size and recruiting acumen. But I think the big thing for him is just going to be continuing to get better. You look at him and you see a guy who has played a lot of high school basketball and has made an impact early, and you hope that he hasn't reached that ceiling. He's not going to be a kid like Brad Davison, who's kind of been the same player that we've seen year in and year out. I don't necessarily think that with Moores. Past 24 games, 24 points per game, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2.5 steals. I mean, he's doing a little bit of everything. And he's just a phenomenal athlete, one of the best gets they had in that 2021 class. So I think he's going to be a player that Wisconsin fans should be super excited about, and that opponents are probably going to get used to fairly quickly in his career as well.
Yeah, you look at him in terms of the body of work. He's a typical Wisconsin kid that's just going to come in and probably be a multi-year player that opposing fan bases will probably find not annoying but frustrating, because he just does so many things well. Like you mentioned, doing it well on the defensive end, rebounding, passing, scoring, does a little bit of everything for his high school team. And if that translates to the college level, I think a lot of other teams in the Big Ten will want to watch out, and they'll be part of that nice class incoming. And who knows, with this class or this team this year going to be so young, there's certainly an opportunity to see a good amount of Matthew Moores here in the near future. So looking forward to what his career can bring. But kudos to him for dominating the state of South Dakota for so many years.
Yeah, I mean, what he has accomplished at high school is silly, and I know that maybe the competition level isn't what you might see elsewhere in the country, but it doesn't take away from the fact that it's a really talented player coming in.
Yeah, and like a 4.0 GPA, student council. I was reading a bunch of stuff yesterday, writing an article. I was like, man, this kid's got it all. Some of us were struggling to pass algebra in high school, and he's winning player of the year and dominating the classroom as well. So kudos to him. It should be fun to watch his career develop for sure. All right, now we'll transition out of the news, kind of get into the football recruiting, the weekend recap. From everything that we've heard, of course, if you follow some of these prospects on Twitter, you can usually tell how the weekend went. Some of them, of course, haven't put much out on social media, but it sounds like from everything that we've kind of gathered that everyone sounds like they had a fun weekend. Even the guys that you didn't know, a guy like Nicholas Singleton, it sounds like he had a really fun weekend. Of course, right now looking like he's going to be a Penn State commit, but it seems like Wisconsin at least put themselves a little bit in the running there. And then there's guys like Curtis Neal, who was heartbroken that he had to leave, which is certainly a good sign. He was, of course, one of the names that he kind of had an eye on for maybe a possible soon commitment. So for being short-staffed and for having so many guys on campus, it sounds like this Wisconsin football staff really pulled out of the stops and really showed out for a really strong weekend, which will hopefully put them in a good spot as they move forward here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you saw, UW had put out that on Instagram that they had a big bash going on. They all went to Paul Chris' house like normal and cooked out and everything. So I think you look at it, and Wisconsin stayed to their brand within the visit, took them to the terrace, used the beautiful weather to their advantage, which is obviously why they really pinpointed this June 4th week to bring in really the bulk of their top prospects, 10 overall kids on campus for official visits, and all 10 guys that I think if they had committed, they would have been ecstatic over. But really, I think overall, you only heard positive things across the board from these guys. And I think while they didn't get a commitment, I think they're much closer to getting a commitment from many of these guys. And I wouldn't be surprised if in the end they land, you know, half or more of these guys come later on this summer and into the fall when they're making their decisions. I know a lot of them are probably waiting until they wrap up their June visits and make a decision in July. I mean, Curtis Neal's probably going to make a decision shortly after his visit to Ohio State next weekend. So I think Wisconsin's got some good news on the horizon, and it's just a matter now of seeing how the rest of those visits shake out for many of these guys who are really highly sought after prospects.
Yeah, yeah. You look at a lot of them. They've got, you know, this past weekend was probably their first one, just given the dead period that just kind of came away. And then they've got, you know, most of them, at least a couple more. And with this situation, with recruiting being so weird this year, I would expect, even if you feel like in your heart that you've got your decision already kind of made, I would expect a lot of these guys to still go out to these visits, make sure, you know, they're making a big decision for their future, and you haven't really been able to do a normal recruiting where you can you go at these visits, so you might as well knock them all out and make the best decision for yourself. But I agree. I think Wisconsin, while they haven't gotten anyone to pull the trigger quite yet, I think they'll be in a good spot to have some good news here soon. And again, for a lot of these guys, going first is always a good opportunity. And I think as far as Wisconsin, sounds like they did really well, put their best foot forward. So now it's just a matter of, can that hold up and compete with some of these other guys taking some big visits? I think right now you got to feel good about a lot of the situations. I know Isaac Ham said Wisconsin was fire, and the other in-state talent, they sounded like they had a great weekend as well. So I think overall they're in a good spot to make some inroads and hopefully land some commits. And also, I think even if they weren't in a situation right now where they were leader in the clubhouse, I really think they shorten that gap a little bit if they were in a competition right now. So again, it pays to go first, and we'll see how the rest of these visits shake out. But I think Wisconsin's got to like where they're at with a lot of these prospects.
Yeah, and Miles Burkett was on campus as well for an unofficial. He's coming back for an official in a few weeks. But he tweeted out that he thinks, you know, there's definitely commitments coming here in the coming weeks, and to kind of keep an eye out for that. I know a lot of the state guys are possibly looking at even maybe a package deal, maybe making a decision together, all sorts of stuff, which would probably lean towards Wisconsin, just given that they're the home state school. They've been on them the longest. They probably have the best relationship there. In a place where they all have offers to go to. So I think there's a lot of momentum on this. It's just we're going to have to wait a little bit to see kind of how everything unfolds here moving forward. But I think you look at it, and I think the Badgers are in a really good spot for a lot of these guys, and there wasn't a negative mark anywhere. I think they really shifted momentum, and maybe a guy like Singleton's recruitment that you mentioned, I think it's down to him and Penn State and Wisconsin now, probably. Penn State's going to be tough to beat, but you really look at it, and Wisconsin doesn't have anybody else that they're really recruiting at that running back spot, and I think that speaks volumes to, I would think, to a young kid who's trying to make a decision between some other schools and sees a place like Alabama reeling in 2-4 stars, and he was heavily figuring out if he wanted to go there. You see Penn State is recruiting other running backs as well. So I think Wisconsin's in a good spot. You just have to worry about a couple teams here or there for some players like Neal. It's basically Wisconsin or Ohio State. So you got to watch Ohio State. You've got a guy like Carson Hinsman. You got to watch Alabama after he took an unofficial visit there, and maybe we'll go back for an official. Caleb Coley, what about Clemson? Because he got that offer. He's a Georgia kid. That would make sense if he goes somewhere other than Wisconsin. Billy Shrouth, I think they really changed the momentum in his, and I think they have a shot. I know we both thought he was a done deal. He was going to Notre Dame. But I mentioned, you know, just like with a guy like Tyler Beach, where they were able to get him on campus and it changed everything in his recruitment. Maybe the Badgers were able to do that in his and get him away from Notre Dame. But really, I think Wisconsin's in a good spot, and now it's just about closing for a lot of these guys. And they're going up against some heavy hitters when they're trying to win these battles, and that's a good thing because it means the talent level's there, but it's a tough thing because you don't know what their other visits are going to be like, and when they've got four or five set up, there's a lot of different things that could happen.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you've seen Wisconsin football elevate, you know, their recruiting classes each of the last few years, and you're starting to land bigger talent. I mean, you're starting to swim maybe in a little bit bigger of a pool, but there's also other big fish in that pool that you're now having to compete with. You're maybe a little bit of the small fish in the big fish pond, so to speak, to get a little metaphorical there. But it seems like Wisconsin is going toe-to-toe with some of these bigger schools and sometimes winning these battles. They probably won't win them all, but it's nice to see that the Badgers are going in and competing with the likes of Notre Dame and Clemson and Alabama for recruits, Ohio State, because a few years ago, that wasn't the case. You know, if there was a guy that was, you know, deciding between Ohio State and Wisconsin, he didn't feel great about it. Same thing, Notre Dame and Wisconsin. There's been a couple situations, but for the most part, a little bit more prestigious of a school, quote unquote. So it's great to see the Badgers, as they've elevated their recruiting, they're going into these battles and winning them some more, and I would expect that to continue. But yeah, overall, it sounds like Wisconsin is putting their best foot forward and competing with some of these quote unquote blue blood schools that normally just dominate the recruiting circuit.
Yeah, and I feel as though a lot of those schools are also taking an interest to Wisconsin more just based off of Wisconsin's ability to develop and bring in some of these linemen. Other schools are taking a keen look at what Wisconsin's doing and saying, hey, these linemen are turning out pretty damn good. We should probably start recruiting them as well. You look at a guy like Joe Brunner. I mean, he's top 60 player in the country. You look at a guy like Billy Shroff, top 160 type guy. Isaac Ham, a four-star kid. Carson Hinsman, top 150 kid. So you've got four guys from in the state who are four-star players and that are getting heavy interest from a lot of other places that normally might have been a guy that might have been a slam dunk to Wisconsin. I think it might not have even gotten to the official visit time right now if it wasn't for COVID kind of making it so that these kids couldn't be on campus earlier. But I think Wisconsin's still in a great spot to potentially land all of them, and especially that in-state group that's so vital to the lifeblood of the program.
Yeah, so important there. And speaking of in-state talent, while we're talking about that, let's touch a little bit about this Andrew Keller saga and kind of the tight end room, you know, recruiting overall. Of course, a player from Wanakee, 6'6", in terms of weight, like, pretty solid kids, 210, 220. Right now has an offer from Iowa and Iowa State, but for a kid in Wanakee, does not have an offer from Wisconsin quite yet. Certainly interesting when you just given the fact that he's so close and from everything I've seen, you know, on highlight tape, stuff like that, a pretty solid player that you would think Wisconsin would kind of be interested in. So what do you make of that situation and just kind of the tight end recruiting overall?
Yeah, I think I don't know what all went down necessarily and what the thought process is here for Mickey Turner and the staff, but ever since the Riley Ducker thing where he basically cut off ties with Wisconsin, it's turned into kind of trying to figure out what they want to do, I think, is Wisconsin had to redraw everything because I think they had him pinpointed as their guy. They wanted to look at some other people, he didn't like it. But I think right now the big thing is they've started to zero in on a couple different players, and I think they're just trying to make sure that Keller is the guy that they want to go with. I don't know what else could lead to the fact that they didn't offer. I mean, he's got offers from Texas. He's got offers from Indiana. I know you already mentioned Iowa and Iowa State, Michigan State, Minnesota, West Virginia, Virginia Tech. So it's not like he doesn't have options. He's an athletic kid. Plays basketball. He's made no, he hasn't been silent about his love for Wisconsin and the fact that he would really value that offer. I remember tweeting out about it and saying he's a Wisconsin, that Wisconsin was really interested in him and he was retweeting it. So he wants that Wisconsin offer. He came to camp this past, I guess, Sunday to throw with Graham Mertz it wasn't really a camp thing, but just to throw with Mertz after saying he wasn't going to camp and that he was just going to focus on his offers. So I think it's just been a miscommunication here on Wisconsin's end as well as on Keller's end, and things are getting blown out of proportion in a lot of ways by recruit Knicks and, you know, ourselves included. But when we look at it, I think this is just a process that Wisconsin is trying to get to know the kid. He's trying to get to know the university, trying to build that relationship. Sounds like he's going to come back for an official visit here, maybe earn an offer then. But I still think he ends up a Badger. It's just a matter of this has just been a kind of a bizarre recruitment, and I think a lot of it stems from just in trying to figure it out on Wisconsin's end after they were kind of thrown for a loop with the Riley Ducker stuff, because I think he would have ended up at Wisconsin if things didn't go down the way they did.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting situation. I think when you look at these type of things, on the surface, you look at a kid, of course, in Wanakee, so close to UW, you're thinking, oh, it's a no-brainer slam dunk, but there's a lot more behind the scenes that goes into a lot of these situations, and sometimes you can't take every player at every position, and when you had your kind of sights honed in on a guy and all of a sudden that quickly shifts, you've got to go back to the drawing board and figure things out. And I'm sure from the Andrew Keller side, he's a kid in Wanakee that you would think, sitting there expecting an offer, got offers from everywhere else, but not the university right down the road. So I can see why, optically and on the surface, it's a little bit different and you can read into it in a lot of different ways. But I think at the end of the day, I agree with you. They'll work it out, and eventually I think he'll end up getting an offer from UW, and I would be, as a betting man, I would probably put my money on still him being a Badger here in the future. But it's certainly an interesting situation with that tight end room and how things – you can kind of see how recruiting can shift so fast when one player moves on, another player you can all of a sudden hone in on, and you've got to scramble sometimes if those situations pop up kind of out of nowhere. So certainly something to keep an eye on and to see how that situation develops for sure.
Yeah, and I think people – what gets lost in this is – It's one of those things where Keller came into last year, didn't have camp last year to be able to get evaluated by the staff. They didn't have the ability to go see him in Wanakee during the fall. And then you look at he was playing in the spring season. And so his spring tape just popped out here a few months ago. And then all of a sudden he started rolling in those offers. So it's one of those things where Wisconsin was probably pretty set at their tight end board, figured, hey, we've got this kid. This is the guy we've wanted. Things changed with Riley, and then all of a sudden Keller kind of emerged at the same time. And so it's the stars kind of aligned where you'd think that Keller is the guy, but you're also looking at a really tight class where they're trying to find scholarships to bring in a kid like him at a school that they have a really good relationship in Wanakee. So I think it's really fluid. Who knows how it'll actually go down, but really I think the biggest thing is just to be patient. It seems like Andrew Keller's playing this patient and biding his time, hoping for that Wisconsin offer. And I would be surprised if Wisconsin didn't make room for him, because you don't always have really talented tight ends growing up in the state, especially right down the road. And you usually try to take advantage of those situations when he's probably the top tight end of their board remaining at this point.
Yeah, most definitely. It's certainly a situation to keep an eye on as they move forward here in terms of how these offers might develop and how that situation finishes out. It's going to be fascinating because, like you said, you don't see that type of talent always so close at that tight end position. All right, that kind of wraps up the football recruiting weekend recap. We'll go ahead and get our ad reads out of the way, and then we'll touch on some basketball visits because I think there's some interesting parts coming up for UW basketball as well.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. super smart guy. My name is just because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right. So, yeah, football is certainly in the limelight after this past weekend. Another big weekend here coming up, kind of that same weekend of June 18th. Football has some guys on campus as well, but basketball really has some guys that will be on campus to make an impact. Three players are scheduled to have an official visit. There's also an unofficial visit we'll talk about in a little bit. For Wisconsin basketball, I know everyone's kind of paying attention to the football recruiting circuits, but it's really important for basketball to maybe make some inroads on some of these guys who are going to be going up against some tough competition. We can start at the top with Braden Huff, Glenbard, West Illinois. Had a visit to Northwestern already, also visiting Virginia Tech. I know in terms of 247, it sounds like they've got Wisconsin listed as cool, with Virginia Tech maybe in the lead. But it's certainly possible that Wisconsin could make some inroads with a strong visit. So what do you make of him as a player and in that kind of situation?
Yeah, so he's a nice – he's got like kind of a well-rounded game, can help out in a lot of different ways. That 6'9 frame that you can definitely add weight to, it definitely – I could see him being a late bloomer where he continues to grow a little bit. He's a lefty that can shoot it from three. You like his game. His in terms of like scholarships where he's looking at, like you mentioned, he's got like offers from DePaul, Creighton, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Virginia Tech. I'm interested to see if Wisconsin can move the needle and get him to commit here at some point. But really, I think you look at between Huff and Moore, you feel good that maybe they'll get one of those guys because their games are fairly similar in a lot of ways, as they're just kind of stretch wings that can play the four and can shoot it from three. And I think they would both fit with Wisconsin. But I think that Huff, it's obvious that he's a smart kid going to Northwestern. Virginia Tech's probably the leader, but I think Wisconsin could shift things if they have a really good visit. And really, I think he would fit nicely in what Wisconsin generally does and what they do well with in terms of those stretch fours.
Yeah, it's a situation that is certainly going to be that you want to watch closely with both of those guys. I'm glad that you mentioned that Moore and Huff kind of have that similar game right now. If you land one of them, I mean, you look at to kind of talk about Braden Moore, a kid out of Nashville, Tennessee, has visits with UW, Rutgers, and Nebraska. So you feel good about maybe showing out and having a really strong pitch to him, and maybe you can land one of the two if you can. Maybe swing both of them, great. But right now, I think if you could give a good pitch to both one of those guys and come away with one, it'd be good. I don't know if there's, in terms of preference, both players have some strong traits, and it's going to be interesting to see how Wisconsin shakes out because there are other schools interested in both of these players. But I think in terms of a basketball program and that combo of on campus, the feel of the place, along with the basketball program, Wisconsin's in a really strong spot compared to some of those other schools. So we'll see how they land one of those and how their recruiting kind of shakes out for one of those forwards and see if they can pick one off or maybe even come away with both, which would be certainly a pleasant surprise at this point.
Yeah, and I think Braden Moore, it's weird because they're both named Braden and they're both fairly similar prospects. Braden Moore might be a little more stout, have a little more weight on his bones, and he's probably about an inch shorter. But you look at it, and both stretch guys who can shoot it. But Braden Moore's got a really good offer list. And I know it looks weird that you look at his visits, and it's with UW, Rutgers, and Nebraska, which kind of tells you he probably wants to play in the Big Ten here. But, I mean, Arizona State, Arkansas, Auburn, Boston College, Cincinnati, Georgetown, Georgia Tech, Kansas, Memphis, right? Like, it goes on and on here. Tennessee, TCU, like, West Virginia. He's got a lot of really good offers out there. And Wisconsin's going toe-to-toe with them. I think if you had to pick one, you'd probably go with Braden Moore. just off film and everything. But I think that Braden Huff might have a higher ceiling as well. So I'm interested to see if they can reel in one of those guys, because I really think that that 2022 class is probably going to be two guys. I doubt they go with bringing both Bradens if both want to commit, just simply because you can't keep bringing in a lot of these stretch fours and totally wipe away a traditional center, forget about some other wing positions that you probably need to bring in as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think Wisconsin right now is doing a really good job of landing very similar, you know, players to the same positions, but sometimes you got to diversify a little bit and maybe go after and land some of these other players, which kind of brings us to our next player that we can touch on, Rowan Bumbaugh out of Northfield, Mass, visiting Georgetown this weekend and UW next weekend. So in terms of official visits, it seems like it's going to be Georgetown or UW. It also has some pretty good offers from some other places as well, Northwestern, Butler, Georgia Tech. So other schools certainly in the mix, but at least in terms of official visits, he looks like a kid that is maybe narrowed down to Georgetown, Wisconsin, and right now has a crystal ball for Wisconsin, so that's certainly a good situation. What do you make of him as a prospect and as a player kind of at that point guard, you know, 6'4", 180 listed right now, so certainly a player that can do a little bit of everything at that guard spot.
I think when you look at kind of the rest of their point guards, he would fit in really nicely because he's got a little bit more height and gives them something a little bit different. I think I would be surprised if he doesn't end up with Wisconsin at this point. I think he's been leaning that way for a little while and has been really excited about that Wisconsin visit. So maybe the Badgers can close on him and bring him in, because you look at he was a guy that just a few months ago, it seemed like every other day he was adding an offer. It was pretty quick clip that he was getting a lot of interest. But Wisconsin's been there from the jump. They've been really after him for quite a long time now, and I think that's going to pay dividends potentially in his recruitment. Smart kid, comes from Massachusetts. I think he fits in with what Wisconsin wants, can help them out both at the point guard as well as at the two, potentially at times. I think he can help them out, and I think that Wisconsin would be in a really good position if they were able to land him, because that makes it so that you can focus more closely on that 2023 class in terms of guards moving forward and don't necessarily need to worry as much identifying guards at their advanced camp later on in the month in for 2022 kids. It's just really be able to focus on 2023 kids, because I doubt they bring in three guys this class. I just don't see it, unless a guy that we're going to talk about later like Seth Trimble wanted to come to Wisconsin. I think that they would make an exception for him.
Yeah, that's a good transition there, because I think I agree with you right now. I think Brumbaugh, you've got a good situation where I think it'd be hard-pressed to not land him, and then maybe right now one of those other two that we've already kind of mentioned, and then maybe you have a situation where Seth Trimble, if he decides that he would want to come to Wisconsin, certainly a player that you find a spot for and you make some room for. Taking an unofficial visit on June 23rd, has officials to Michigan, North Carolina, unofficial to Marquette. Of course, a very talented player in the state, very highly rated, and a guy that was the Wisconsin, of course, has had their eye on, certainly wants to be in the running, but a lot of big schools, we talked about it earlier with football competing with some of the big ones, basketball will be in that situation as well. So what do you make of Seth Trimble and the possibilities for Wisconsin to have a shot there?
They got to knock that visit out the park. I mean, you look at it, if they want to earn his services, because he's a top 100 kid who I think actually fits in really nicely with what Wisconsin does. I think you could see him having bring something similar to what Demetri Trice does, but a higher athletic profile, an extra few inches as well. So he's got a relationship with the Badgers. His family has a strong relationship with the Badgers after his older brother, J.P. Takoto, ended up spurning the Badgers and going to North Carolina. And I think if Takoto had to do it again, he'd probably end up at Wisconsin just based off of how his career kind of unfolded there and with the NBA. But I think that I think it's going to be a long shot to get him just because I think Michigan also makes a ton of sense for him and that he would fit in really well there. North Carolina, there's the draw of, you know, the brother angle. They've got a shift in their coaching philosophy, a lot of different things. Maybe he finds that appealing as well. But I think that if they get Brumbaugh, I think that they're completely content. But Tremble would be a really huge get that would potentially shake up the backcourt a little bit in the years to come because I think he would play early if he ended up at Wisconsin. But we'll see. I really just think that you're just happy you got an unofficial there. You've got to try to make a move on him. He's also going to be visiting Marquette and some other schools. And I wouldn't be shocked if he goes any number of different places at this point. But I do think that for him, the fit with Wisconsin actually makes a ton of sense. But we know that high school recruiting and with AAU programs, it all just is a crapshoot in a lot of ways in that Wisconsin doesn't necessarily work on an even playing field with some of the other schools based off of what's going on.
Yeah, it'll certainly be a situation to watch closely that hopefully Wisconsin can, you know, have a good visit and see what they can put in front of him to try and make it competitive, at least with some of these bigger schools. It's going to be a tougher one. I think right now Wisconsin's in a really good spot with the other three that we kind of mentioned. But Seth Trimble, if he's a guy that you can land, is certainly one that you'll circle in on and be happy with getting because he is a guy that can make an impact early in his career. Some of these other guys may be a little bit further down the road, but I think Seth Trimble is a guy that could play from the jump and be a really quality prospect for Wisconsin to land. And we know the in-state talent that has left the state to play at other places is, of course, something that Wisconsin fans pay close attention to. So if they could land him and keep him in the state, it would certainly be a positive for Wisconsin basketball moving forward.
For sure.
All right, guys. Well, that wraps up everything on the recruiting front. A lot going on the football side, a lot going on the basketball side as well. So any updates, we'll be sure to continue updating and talking about, I'm sure. On the football side, we'll have more to talk about in terms of commits down the road here. But for right now, I think Wisconsin's in a good spot. So thank you guys, as always, for listening. We'll be back with you later in the week on Wisconsin. Thank you.